Morning. So we're talking about this morning the report of our expedition to Zocuyapan, Puebla, Mexico. I'm not going to talk about that. It's already been spoken of. And it's just great to see people. I guess it's been a privilege for sure that I get to team members from all over the United States. I've even had people inquire to come with me from South Africa to want to join me in Mexico. So I've just always been encouraged, as you can see from our missions conference, our slide there, to encourage one another. I've been encouraged when people have gone on a mission trip, especially if it's their first time out, and how God uses them mightily in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's been a privilege and an honor to be part of this. And but also, Debbie and I celebrate our 11th year with E3 Partners. And so we praise God for that. I also would say it was probably one of my most difficult trips to go on, because of the situation of Debbie's health. And I appreciated so much, I think it was the night before, Jim, you came over to the house and prayed with us. And that was encouraging. And again, encouraging one another. But that was difficult. You know, there's a lot of times when I leave the house to go to Mexico or now back to Moldova, I find it difficult sometimes to leave home. And that's just the truth of the matter. And so I always remind myself of our missionaries as they leave home to go serve. But I think over the years, Debbie and I have always had an understanding that we know Jesus and they don't. And so we go. And that's what we do. And but I also want to say thank you very much for your care. For your care for her. And staying in contact, and the meals have just been overwhelming, and so I just thank you as a church body for caring for Debbie and contacting her, sending her letters and notes. It's been encouraging, and people in Mexico would always ask me, "How could you do that? How could you leave your wife?" And I said, "You know, there's a church body back home that's caring for my wife," and I says, "And Jesus takes care of her better than what I can do." You know, that's the truth, right? Amen. It's just living that out becomes sometimes that struggle. But again, I want to give you my appreciation and thanks for that. Again, as we get started here, I'd like to just go to the Lord in prayer first. Let's go to the author. Father, we thank you for who you are, and God, that we can come together here and worship you. We cannot do anything unless you help us do this. We pray that you will instruct us and train us up as a church body. May it be a reminder for all of us of what we're supposed to be about. And God, that this might be new to others to hear this. But God, I ask that open all our ears to have understanding. We ask that you draw us closer to yourself, to be transformed into your image each day. And God, that we would obey as we follow you. Father, we ask these things in your Son's name. Draw us nearer in Jesus' name. Amen. So up on the screen, this is our vision of No Place Left. And it, we have these for all our countries that we serve in and beyond. This is not part of E3, but we partner with this vision of No Place Left, where Paul in Romans 15:23 says, "There's no place left for me to work in this region, and I'm leaving to go to Spain." So that's a big vision, isn't it? See, because Paul knew the churches had been established, and he can leave now because they're going to carry on the work, right? The church body is established. They're going to carry on the work. And Paul's moving on. So this is our No Place Left for Mexico. And we have that vision. My heart is towards more of the indigenous people. So these are the more difficult places of access, harder to get to. And so we press on that. Part of our strategy is what we call the four fields of kingdom growth. And so it's a way of a strategy of entering that what we call the empty field. And we come up with a plan. And then in that next field that we have in field two is sharing the gospel, sowing the seed. And from that, as we see in Mark 4, those four fields, how God responds. It's nothing between field two and three. There's nothing that we can do. It's God that gives the increases. It's God that causes people to respond to the gospel. I think John touched on that this morning. There's nothing that we can do except proclaim the gospel in his name. And then from that, we have people respond to that. And that's where we start discipling them. And as I always say, wherever disciples are, formation takes place and it becomes church. They gather together. But the key, I would call this five fields, because in the heart of this, in the center of this, we need to be developing leaders to carry on the work. Because if we're not doing the center of all this, this continuous that needs to take place, this will all die. It will all die. So we need to have processes in place where we're intentionally raising up new leaders to carry on the work. So here's just another image of that. In field number four, we show what simple church looks like, that they're functioning as simple church doing all these things. And we see that in Acts chapter 2, that that's what the church did. And but I don't even talk to people about field number four or three. If you're not doing field number two and sharing the gospel, I don't need to talk to you about field number three and making disciples. Because first we need to get people sharing the gospel consistently, and then you'll see the growth, right, that people are drawn in. So this is part of our strategy, and God's been using it, you know. Again, it's not our strategy, right? It's his. And this also, we train people on sharing the gospel. We train people on how to share Jesus' story. And you can read some of Jesus' story there. It says in Acts 1. Up here, I don't know if this thing even works on this or not there. Okay. So we just kind of start out with this story that just says what? That we're all born into a world of brokenness, aren't we? Right? Are we not all born into this world of brokenness? How do we know that the world's broken? What?
Turn on the news.
Turn on the news, right? Yeah. We talked about, you know, the legislation, you know, with our platform in Texas, right? Or wars that are going on. So we're all born into this world of brokenness. You name it, we're here, right, in this world of brokenness. But God's original design was totally different, wasn't it? That we were in relationship with a holy God. And we can read that in Genesis chapter 1. And God said it was good what he had done. But then, man, all you got to do is turn one chapter or two chapters, right? And we rebelled against that holy God. And we fled him. We call that today, we call that sin. We rebelled against him and fled him. And the Bible, of course, tells us that all of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory. And we fled and ran back into this world of brokenness. And that's why if we're here like this. And what are some of these things that people do to escape this world of brokenness? Some people escape this world of brokenness by drugs or alcohol, right? Some people do it to, make a lot of money. Maybe education is their way of escaping brokenness. Whatever you can name and think that people try to escape this world of brokenness, it doesn't satisfy. And those, I always say, are like rubber bands. They snap us back into that world of brokenness. We can't escape it. But God had a solution. God sent his son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins. He lived a perfect, holy life. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. And he says that if you will turn and believe and follow him and make Jesus the king of your life, he will restore you back to the Father in his original design. And you are then a new creation in Christ Jesus. Does that story make sense to you?
Yes.
Yes. Where are you at? Do you have a story like that? Where are you living at? Are you living in this world of brokenness? Or are you living in God's original plan, his design? Because you have that relationship with Jesus Christ. It's only through him that he can restore you back to the Father. There's no one else. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. You have a decision to make, right? We all had a decision to make. Am I going to continue to live in this world of brokenness, or am I going to trust Jesus? Surrender on the battlefield and say, Lord, you are my king. I'm going to serve you. So we train people on how to share the gospel. That's just one of the ways that we use that. Also, as we disciple people, we call what the three-thirds process. And these are ways of every week when we get together, we do a new lesson. And the main keys on these, as you can see, don't leave out the red parts, is during that study that you're doing a loving accountability, you're doing vision casting with your believers, and then you're practicing a new lesson with them and setting goals at the end of this study. And this is the loving accountability that we take. If you leave out the red parts, I say you end up with a typical Bible study, and there's no obedience there. So that's the loving obedience that we're trying to move people into obeying and following Jesus Christ. And then, again, here's another image that we use on the formation of church. And so, and this is all in Acts 2, that these are things that the simple church did. And so up here, up at the top, we just identify as a group gets together, all these elements are outside of the church, outside of this body, right? And so you say, okay, I got six people that are attending my group. And I got six here, and I got three believers and zero baptisms. And so I asked them, I said, so are you doing the Lord's table? No. Are you gathering together? And they say, yeah. Are you going out making disciples? Yeah. Are you doing worship? Yes. Are you studying the Bible? Yes. Are you that? No, not doing that. We're praying for one another. We're not giving to one another yet. So they're functioning. But if they're doing all these things, that dotted circle goes to a solid line. That all that means is that they coveted it together to become church, that they're functioning as church. Simple house church. Maybe six people, sometimes 10 people, sometimes 20, 25 people. That's what... So that's kind of what you see. That's what we're doing. One of the other things that I track people is on our where we've been working at is this would be the up here at the top. Up at the top, they're functioning this church, and it's through these relationships that other groups have started, but you can see there's some elements missing, right? And so they're still gathering together, they're studying the Word of God, and they're loving each other, and they're praying together. And there's five people in that group, there's one believer, and there's one that's been baptized. See, so that's how we track, and what we're looking for is generational growth. And so as you can see, some of these, what, New York, Phoenix, two in Phoenix, Orlando, and one trying to start in Berlin. That's just a generic one that we've put together to kind of give you an idea where we're trying to go. And that example is where? In 2 Timothy 2:2. That even though Paul was looking for men that were faithful in handling the Word of God, we see that generational growth through Paul's relationships, right? And so that's what we're tracking on those generational growth. And where I'm really seeing a lot of this right now is in MitchellCon, because that's where I've been working the longest. And so this is what we call fourth generation, right? Paul to Titus, the faithful man to others, right? And so right now this is fourth generation. Right now we're right at the tipping scale in MitchellCon to go to fourth generation and growth in your groups. And not all of them are church. One is still functioning as church, but they're all decided we want to go back to the mother church, but we're still doing all these other things, but we want to function. Does that make sense, or does that sound confusing? Maybe if you've never been exposed to this, it might seem kind of strange, but that's what we're doing. We're tracking what's happening in every country that we work in. Pretty exciting stuff. One of the things in MitchellCon now, up here, Steve and Pat were here in Uren, it's like right over in here, and Allen's was there. And so since about 2014, we now have groups in Zamora all the way to Carapan, because Carapan is where we worked at this past year. And so that's over 22 miles that we've covered, that they've worked in these groups through these natural relationships that these groups have started, and it's growing and spreading. But they're obeying and following Jesus. That's why it's growing. And that's exciting to see what God is doing there. So, you know, this fall, we're going to be, I'm trying to see where this is at. Here's Steve, Pat, you remember Poracho. We were in Poracho. That was a nice rainy day. But anyways, we'll be down in this area. I'm trying to find, oh, right here in Urapan. We'll be here. Now, the Tuis are like right up here, they're where the Tuis are working at. So, here's another guide that we use to help equip them, identifying what church is. I guess y'all didn't know, right, that your right hand can help you on that. So your thumb, we look for who is the head of the church. So this is kind of like a self-discovery for them to identify who's head of the church, right? Who's head of the church? It's Pastor Jim, right? Ah, it's Steve and Dennis, right? They're the head of the church. Right. So if you look up these scripture verses and follow that across, in number one, the church has one head. And those verses will tell them as they read it. I don't tell them. I tell them, read the verses. Who tells you who's head of the church? And then we walk down to the next one. The church has two authorities. Who are those authorities? Very important. The Word of God. Not tradition of men. Not any religious system. It is the authority of the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit. It's amazing with a new believer how the Holy Spirit starts revealing to them the Scriptures and give them understanding. I don't have to tell them anything, hardly. See? And so we just walk through these things. The church has three servants, and we have the elders, the deacons, and every one of you, the priests of the believers. So they discover those for themselves. And then the five functions of the church. There's many other scriptures you could even add to that. Sometimes this is very task for them, especially with indigenous groups exercising that. I have one translator says, "Wow, you use too many scriptures." He says, "It's the authority of the Word of God. It's not me. It's the authority of the Word of God." So that's incredible. So the team was up here in Puebla State when we were there. What we're talking about in Zocuyapan, up in that kind of northern tip there, where we were at. And then from there, after the team came back home, I traveled down to Oaxaca City and visited with those folks that have been calling me for over 2.5 years. And so that was finally came to fruition. And then from there, I went back to Puebla, took the bus to Mexico City, flew to Guadalajara, and then drove to into Michoacan where the Purépecha live to do a follow-up, but also to prepare for this fall in November, the expedition in Urapan. And so if you want to go to Urapan, here's my advertisement. You can come this November, the 3rd through the 10th of this year. Now I'll take you back to Oaxaca. In the center is Hector. And Hector, I came to know of Hector. There was a pastor that was in Colorado over 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago, at a church planting conference, right? And he started sharing about this man, this young man, that was working in Mexico, in Oaxaca. And from him, he contacted me and said, I hear you work in Mexico. You need to listen, meet Hector. So 2.5 years ago, Hector drove for 10 hours to visit me for 3 hours in Michoacán. Incredible. He never even asked me for any money or gas money. He just showed up, and I just, incredible. But Hector's story is that at the age of 14, he came to the United States with his parents. Sound familiar? And he ended up in Minnesota. And then in his around 20 years old, he said, I was hanging around the wrong people. And he said, and I ended up getting pulled over by the police at the age of 23 with a DUI. The DUI was the easy part. Hector had 1 kilo of cocaine in his car. He was a dealer. He said, hey, I can make $1,000 a day or $8 an hour. What would you do? See, bad choices. So Hector was facing a 20-year sentence. Felony sentence, and the judge gave him a 10-year sentence. So Hector went to federal prison in Minnesota, and guess what happened? Hector doesn't speak any English. He says, I was so alone. He said, I was so alone. I didn't know what I was going to do. Nobody. He says, there is no people of color in the state of Minnesota. They're all Anglos. He said, nobody speaks Spanish. And several days later, a man shows up in his cell, and he calls him my spiritual father, and he shared the gospel of Jesus because he spoke Spanish. And from there, in prison, Hector learned English. Hector became a disciple maker in this federal prison, sharing the gospel, sharing the good news with these prisoners. And from that, this pastor in Colorado Springs was also working with Prison Fellowship. Well, guess what happened? He serves 5 years. Instead of serving 10 years, they say, we're gonna let you out. But when you get let out, we're going to deport you back to the country. Well, this pastor from Colorado Springs that was serving with Prison Fellowship was trying to get him on staff with Prison Fellowship Ministries. He was denied. And so this pastor that I've been talking to got him connected with a ministry in Puebla City. When Hector got released, he had a detainer on him, and they immediately moved him to Mexico to the border and let him go in Nuevo Laredo. And from there, his pastor from Colorado Springs flew to Mexico City to meet him. When the bus arrived in Mexico City, what do you think? Isn't that incredible? He said he didn't want Hector. I just talked to him the other day. He said, I didn't want him to fall through the cracks. He said he was amazing in prison. But he says, sometimes so many distractions outside of prison, I don't want him to go back. Because he's originally from Michoacán. He said, I don't want him to go back to Michoacán. He'll get in the wrong crowd again. So he said, I met him in Mexico City, and I rented a car. We drove to Puebla, and I got him engaged in this ministry. And there he served in this ministry, a Bible school and an orphanage there in Puebla City. And Hector met his wife there. And after they served there for 6 years, they were married, and then they moved to Oaxaca. And he served for another 6 years up in the mountains with the Mesteca people. And now he works in the city of Oaxaca City. And there he met another ministry there, is what we call community transformation, where this man had also been in drugs, but many years ago started this ministry in this farm where they're raising animals, and as you can see, the sheep, the rabbits, and the chickens, and everything, they have this going on. And so there's Hector and his wife and his two kids. I was there just last month with them, and just incredible. You can see these men. They have a place for men, and they have another place several miles away where they have women. Also, these men again come from backgrounds of alcohol or drugs. Some of them have been brought there by their families, and some of the families pay something to have them stay there. Sometimes they can't afford, and the director of this takes them in. And incredible work that they're doing there with limited resources. But they have to make a commitment for 3 months to stay there, and then they're reevaluated. Here's Oti. He's the director. I met with him, sat down with him, and they just gave us a tour. You can see part of the farm over here on the left-hand corner, some property that they have that God has supplied that. And I think we'll just go ahead for that video. We can do that now. And I just that introduction. This is and I guess just make sure the volume's up so you can hear the translation for some of us and some of us not. So.
Hola.
Hi.
Buenos días.
Good morning.
Mi nombre es Oti.
My name is Oti.
Y es mi esposa Gaby.
And this is my wife Gaby.
Somos los directores de La Cosecha.
We are the directors in charge of La Cosecha Ministry.
Y somos una casa de rehabilitación para hombres y mujeres.
And we are a rehab house, a recovery house for men and females.
Gracias a Dios, Él nos ha usado desde hace 12 años.
Thanks to God, He's been using us for the last 12 years.
Y hace más de 15 años.
And it's been more than 15 years.
Que Jesucristo
Jesus
me salvó.
Saved me.
De las drogas, del alcohol.
From drugs and alcohol.
Del pecado.
From sin.
Yo fui adicto.
I used to be a drug addict.
Y fui alcohólico.
I used to be an alcoholic. For 17 years.
Tuve que estar en la cárcel.
I spent time in jail.
Tuve que hacerle mucho daño a mi familia.
I make a lot of damage to my family.
A mis padres.
My father.
Que fueron buenos padres.
They weren't good fathers to me.
Padres cristianos.
Christian parents.
Ellos aceptaron al Señor.
They took Jesus.
Como por el año de 1950.
Like in 1950.
Y pues yo no entendí, yo fui necio.
I didn't understand.
Y en la secundaria, en la adolescencia.
When I was in high school, when I was a teenager.
Me metí en las drogas y el alcohol.
I started using alcohol and drugs.
Pero gracias a Dios.
But thanks to God.
A los 32 años.
When I was at the age of 22.
El Señor Jesucristo.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Hizo un milagro en mi vida.
He did a miracle in my life.
Y me. No solamente me rescató.
And He not only rescued me.
Sino me llamó para servirle.
But He called me to be one of His servants.
Dejé todo lo que yo hacía.
I left everything that I used to do.
Y le seguí, fui a Puebla.
And I followed him, I obeyed him, I went to Puebla.
A un instituto.
I went to a biblical school.
Estuve ahí como un año y medio.
I used to be for a period about a year and a half.
Y ahí conocí a mi esposa.
And I met my wife right there.
Ahí llevaba ella sirviendo 9 años.
She was serving there for 9 years.
Regresé a Oaxaca.
I came back to Oaxaca.
Y comencé a hacer la cosecha.
And I started doing la cosecha.
Empezamos desde en fe.
We started by faith.
Y seguimos en fe.
And we still
walk by faith. Dios nos ha provisto.
God has been providing.
Lo que hemos necesitado.
The things that we need.
A través de hermanos.
Through some brothers.
A través de amigos,
to some friends,
hemos construido,
we have been building
estos lugares,
these places,
que son sencillos,
that are simple places,
pero que dan alojamiento,
but they give shelter to
a hombres,
to, to some men.
Aquí en Etla,
right here in Etla.
Y en Oaxaca, las mujeres.
And in Oaxaca to the females.
Trabajamos con ellos.
We work with them.
Con el propósito.
With the purpose.
Principal.
The principal purpose.
De que conozcan a Jesucristo.
That they will know Jesus Christ.
Como su Señor y Salvador.
As their own Savior.
Darles el Evangelio.
To give them the gospel.
Que conozcan la palabra de Dios.
They will know the word of God.
Porque sabemos.
Because we know.
Que como consecuencia de esto.
That as a consequence of this.
Ellos van a ser libres.
They will be free.
Del alcohol y de las drogas.
From alcohol and drugs. From sin.
Entonces ese es nuestro propósito.
So that is our purpose.
Que las personas con adicciones.
That the people with addiction.
Conozcan a Jesucristo.
They will know Jesus Christ.
Otro de nuestros propósitos es.
Another of our purpose is.
Levantar siervos para la obra.
To raise servants for the word of God.
Hemos trabajado durante estos años.
We have been working through these years.
Para formar.
So we can form
siervos, obreros,
servants.
Gracias a Dios.
And thanks to God.
Se han levantado varios jóvenes.
Some teenagers, they have been raised.
Están sirviendo en la iglesia.
They've been serving at the church.
En otros ministerios.
In different ministries.
Unos son pastores.
Some of them, they're pastors.
Uno de ellos tiene un centro de rehabilitación.
One of them, he has a rehab house too.
Y hemos visto el fruto.
And we have seen the fruit and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ right here in La Cosecha.
Queremos nosotros, deseamos,
we want and we desire
que el ministerio crezca,
that this ministry will be growing up more.
Tenemos como meta también,
we have as a goal,
capacitar a los jóvenes,
to prepare the teenagers
and youth
and to teach them
how to
do different work as mechanic,
herrería,
a welding,
carpintería,
carpenter,
panadería,
bakery,
de las mujeres en especial,
and the females especially,
costura,
learn how to sew.
Entonces, una de nuestras metas ahorita en las que queremos crecer,
one of our goals right now, where we're gonna grow up right now,
es la construcción de talleres,
is to build this shop.
Adquirir materiales, máquinas,
so we can get machines and material,
para capacitar a los chavos,
so we can teach them,
cuando ellos salgan,
so when they be, when they be able to leave from here,
se reintegren,
so they can go back to society,
a la sociedad, como personas trabajadoras,
as hard workers,
encuentren un empleo,
so they be able to find a job,
un sistema de vida,
a system of life,
para que no vuelvan a lo mismo.
So they won't relapse again.
Yo les agradezco mucho.
I thank you a lot.
Que me estén escuchando.
You are listening to this word.
Estamos en Oaxaca, México.
We are here in Oaxaca, Mexico.
Y aquí en tu casa.
Right here at your home.
Cuando quieran visitarnos.
Whenever you want to come visit us, we wait for you. We really thank you, brother.
Dios les bendiga.
God bless you.
Solo quiero decirles que
I just want to say that
que no, bueno, la familia de Dios es grande,
that the family of Christ is
ustedes
big.
Están lejos,
even though you are far away from us
país,
in a different country,
nosotros aquí,
we are here in Mexico,
pero tenemos un propósito,
but we have a purpose,
que es dar a conocer el mensaje del Evangelio,
that is to teach the gospel,
llevar la palabra en donde quiera que estemos,
to take the word of God wherever we are,
y gracias a Dios,
and thanks to God,
que el reino del Señor,
that his kingdom
está creciendo,
is growing,
muchas personas,
many people
están llegando al conocimiento de la palabra,
many people are coming to the knowledge of the word of God,
gracias por cada persona,
thank you for every person,
que ha subido al llamado,
they have been attend to the call, que
han sido valientes,
that they be encouraged,
y esforzados,
and they make an effort,
para dar todo por el Señor,
to give everything for the Lord Jesus Christ,
él es fiel,
he is faithful,
gracias,
thank you.
I was sitting there thinking about the evangelist I used to travel with. Sometimes he said, I don't have to preach. All I got to do is show a story, right? I would say, Oti says he has about a 70%, got about a 70% success rate. And he says, and sometimes I think it's because I failed that these men, some of them return back to their old life. But they, when they go to church, that's the only time during the week they get to visit with their families. So that's the motivation for these guys and gals to show up at church on Sunday, because they get to visit with their other family members during that time. And it's an all-day event that they get to spend that time together. But also the encouraging thing, I thought in 12 years, Oti said that he's had 27 men go back to Puebla to the Bible Institute, and now they serve as pastors and leaders within churches in Mexico. Some of them came back to Oaxaca to pastor, but out of those 12 years, he's had 27 men go on to that Bible Institute and serve. Isn't that incredible? The transformation of a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so it was exciting for me. I know the pastor Omar was with me on this, and he was definitely encouraged of what they're doing, like I said, with the limited resources. So Let's see. So when a missionary looks at the clock, it means absolutely nothing. But how about abbreviated version of this? Because I was going to say, if Lori had asked me what the title of my message was, and I said, I was thinking evangelism, but I didn't tell her that because I said everybody would leave the door, you know, if I talk about evangelism, because usually people get nervous when you talk about evangelism. But this is how this happens. People ask me, Lyle, how do you plant churches in a week or 10 days? I said, God does that. And it has to start in that field number one and moving into field number two. It starts with evangelism. If we're not sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing happens. It stops. And I don't want to break that chain, do you? You see, if everybody in here would chatter the good news of Jesus Christ, guess what would happen? The city of San Marcos, our county, our state would be turned upside down. Austin, Texas wouldn't know what to happen at the legislature level. You see, men and women are transformed just like these men and women were transformed lives when they heard the gospel. These words I kind of pick out was evangelize, the gospel, the good news, the proclamation of that. There's some scripture verses to those, but I think at this point, I will kind of leave it there, but I just wanted to share that John touched on this morning again. Jesus is the King of the kingdom. Right? But are you, do you believe, when your presence goes somewhere, even if it's into dark places, do you believe like you're part of that kingdom? That you represent that kingdom? See, because you are His ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're a representative of that kingdom wherever you go. And you're setting that example of the kingdom. And so when the kingdom showed up for these men, their lives were transformed. It's incredible to watch these guys and hear some of their testimonies. Christ is the King and the kingdom. I think one of the things that we need to, let's see here. Get some. Paul tells us that we need to proclaim this good news to evangelize. So sometimes when we hear the gospel or the proclamation, it is actually the word is translated. The root word in that verb is evangelize or evangelism activity. Is the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of God? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the originator, is it not? Is that not where it originated from? God? And who was that representative on planet Earth? Jesus, right? And what did John say this morning in the Sunday school hour? It's us now to glorify the Father through His Son, the gospel. Here's the problem. The gospel that men and women, by nature, do not see or understand this message because their eyes, the Bible tells us, are blinded to the spiritual truth. So what are we going to do if they're blinded? What can we do to remove that veil that they can see? What do we do? I don't possess any ability or with my articulation, right? It's not in ourselves to pull back that veil of the gospel, of the darkness. So who does? It's God that does that. He is the originator of that, right? He is the originator of the gospel. Through the believing prayers, I believe that it always starts at prayer. And that's what I always tell my teams. Most of the time when people come back from an expedition, they will tell me, what I would ask them, what would you have done different going in that you know now? And most of them always tell me, I wish I would have prepared more and prayed more. I said, absolutely. Because for me, it starts with prayer. That's the plow. That's the till. That's what's softening that soil in those four fields, is through prayer. Right? It's not my abilities to go down there and come up with some strategy or way to manipulate people in sharing the message. So I say, if we don't first learn how to pray, any practical instruction in evangelism that I can do or anybody else can do will yield little. Nada. I can teach you on culture. I've learned a lot over the years in Mexico. I've learned a lot even in Moldova. I can teach you about those cultures and how to engage people. But it means nothing if we are not on our knees in prayer. In 2 Corinthians 9:13, he says, by the approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ. One of my first books, when I traveled with evangelists, he gave me, E.M. Bounds, The Power of Prayer. Listen to what E.M. Bounds says. What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use. Men of prayer. Men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men. Men of prayer. It all starts there. So thank you for praying for us as we go. Pray for one another in these things as you speak on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus not only brought us the gospel, he also embodies that message, does he not? He is Jesus proclaimed to them of his essence of who he was. Philip said to him, though, Lord, show us the Father. Don't you love this passage? Show us the Father. And is it enough for us? And Jesus said to him, I have been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? That's in John 14, just right after John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. Philip, are we not sometimes a little slow on that, right? Yeah. Here we are with Jesus. They're hanging out with Jesus. And Philip asks this question. The good news, Jesus embodies all this. And no one else. It is the gospel for all the nations in Mark 13:10. He says, and this gospel must first be proclaimed, preached to all the nations. We don't have time to get involved in the affairs of this world. We need to be about the Father's business. You know, over 2.5 billion people on planet Earth have yet to been evangelized. They have been denied access to the gospel. Why? It's because we don't go. You see, it's the cost. Cost is not a factor. We've already been told to go. And you don't have to go to Mexico. You don't have to go to Moldova. You don't have to go to Africa. You can do it right here in Hays County. You can do it up on that campus here at Texas State. It might cost you, right? Some of that cost might be embarrassment. Oh, what people might think of me, right? And he said, go into all the world and proclaim, preach this gospel to all creation in Mark 16. We must be willing to give our life for the one who gave us life, right? He gave us life for us that have trusted in Jesus Christ. He has given us life. Will you give your life away? Will you give your life away for this message? Wherever that might be. But he's called all of us with this message. Will you share the good news of the kingdom? What will it take for us to make that commitment to share the good news of the kingdom in your workplace? What would you do? We have that opportunity. Like John was saying this morning, we brush up against that every day. So many times during the day that we miss that opportunity. You know, on a mission trip, that's incredible because we're intentionally focusing on people. So we engage people in that conversation. We're forward-leaning on that. But then when we come home, guess what? It's kind of like life back to normal, like we had it before. We need to lean into that. Lean into that resistance and proclaim Jesus Christ. You know, we get to come back home from expeditions or share stories like that and show what God is doing. Guess what? If we were out in San Marcos, Texas, Hays County, we would be sharing the same kind of stories because wherever you show up, Jesus has already been there preparing people for this message. And there's people dying to hear this message. I always liked the Genesis passage. I was looking at the Hager family up here yesterday. the fulfillment of the commission, the Genesis 1:28. Isn't that awesome to see that family up there? Because God told us, right? Go and be fruitful and multiply. And we did that. That's awesome. Every family, you can see that. God told us to do that. But he also told us in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples. It's assumed when Paul was speaking to them, I never find anything in Paul's teachings about sharing the gospel. It's assumed that they're going to do it. You see, he's telling us to go. It's assumed that we're going to go and share the gospel, proclaim his name, and make disciples. So we do good at Genesis 1:28, but when it comes to Matthew 28, I'm not an evangelist. But you are a witness. You have been called. Some people say, I haven't been sent. Ephesians 4, right? Some are evangelists. I'm not an evangelist. But you are a Christ follower. Your life has been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. And you are a witness for him. Right? Wherever you at, God is going to use you. Again, John, I'm tagging on John. It's incredible. Don't pray that prayer, God, prepare somebody to share this message with, because he will do it. If you start praying, God, set me up for a divine appointment to share this message with, and even list names of people that you know, watch out, because he will do it. He'll give you that opportunity. That's how opportunities come along. It starts with prayer. Pray for those people that God gives you that opportunity. We have all been called to be his witnesses. Evangelism is supremely God's work in people. And he enlists us. He gives us that opportunity, this human cooperation. He invites us on his mission that he's doing. Isn't that awesome? I know, it's like I'm hammering on this, right? But it's incredible how we pick and select things that we're going to obey and follow Jesus on. And this is one of them that we let slide so many times that people are dying and perishing without Christ. Evangelism essentially is a process rather than a program. It's not something that we tack onto the church. As I was sharing that church circle with you and those functions, that's one of them. It's outreach into the community and your neighbor. And that's why Paul could say, there's no place left for me to work in this region because the churches have been established and I can leave because they're going to carry on the work. Why? Because it's assumed that you're going to function in these things to go and make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you again for the opportunity to share what God's been doing in Mexico. But with these men, it was just encouraging to see how the transformation takes place. And I would ask that as believers, again, I'm pointing fingers at myself, see, because it's so easy to let these things go. But if you're here and you don't know Christ, I ask you to consider what Jesus has done for you and that He has made a way for you to be restored back to the Father, and that you too can have that relationship with Him as God originally designed it for you. So we close in prayer. Father, we thank You for this time. And God, we just ask Your blessing with us as we leave this place. God, that You would use us, each and every one of us, for Your kingdom, for Your coming kingdom, and also for Your glory. That God, that through each and every life here would glorify Your Son for what You had told us to do so many years ago. Give us the heart. Give us the Father's heart from the very beginning. In Christ's name. Amen.